you're kind of like the herpes of the internet. You're everywhere, and you just pop up periodically.
What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Saturday night. It's upon us yet again. I am Josh Hadley. No idea why I'm doing this all Orson Welles style, but Charlie McMullen's here with me.
Find me a jury that says you can say in July.
Let's see how many film nerds get that. But
good luck. Have fun looking that up, guys.
If you can find a way to say in July, I'll go down on you.
I'll go down on you.
And with us is, you heard Kat giggling back there.
I don't know what you're quoting, but I like it.
After the show, Charlie and I will educate you.
Oh, good Lord.
So
all that means is we're just unofficially challenging people to look it up before the end of the show.
No, you listen to the show, you look it up after. What you do right now, though, is you go to adamandeve.com. You use the promo code WHAT to get 10 free gifts. A free mystery gift, a gift for him, a gift for her, a gift for both of you, free U.S. shipping, and 6 free DVDs. I mean, that is just absolute insanity. All you got to do is use the promo code WHAT at adamandeve.com. So after that, let's go from vaginas to vaginas in this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
How about in Florida? The woman who stuck an entire bottle of booze in her vagina to shoplift it. By the way, the bottle of booze is not cylindrical. It's one of those ones that has like the bulbous end, like E&J brandy and whatnot. Hooch in the cooch. How desperate do you have to be? By the way, she got the whole bottle in there. And she did this in front of her son on camera.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
Your thoughts are just ow?
Ow. Ow, 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 ow. I don't know what kind of liquor it was.
E&J brandy.
I don't know what that looks like, but ow.
Well, a bottle of E&J brandy looks kind of like those old like tabletop cigarette lighters from the 50s. It's nothing that I would think would go into a vagina without a fight, you know what I mean? I'm wondering mechanically how it happened, because she had to have brought lube with her. That's like the practical way. She either that, or she had to like just be naturally turned on before she went into the liquor store so she can get that. And I know that women can't just turn it on and off like that. It's the same thing with boners. That's why there's stuff like lube and Viagra and rhino horn and like tiger testicles, whatever the internet says. But I'm just wondering how she pulled it off. And I think it's impressive. If it were my liquor store, I would have let her keep it.
Well, I wouldn't have definitely wanted it back. I definitely wouldn't have wanted it back. I'd go, it's evidence. You can handle it, officers. But the outrage is not necessarily that she did this or how she did it. That she did it right in front of her. The child is obviously unidentified for age. He looks like he's maybe 6 years old. It right in front of her 6-year-old kid. And the shot in all the news reports, his eyes are huge, like, Mom, what are you doing?
Mommy, can you even put that there?
Mommy, I know I came out of there, but I was a lot smaller.
That's what I'm saying. That only probably furthered the child's appreciation for what a vagina can be capable of. I mean, not only did it bring him into the world, but now it can do that.
It's like a lot of life lessons very quickly.
Yeah, it's like Felix the Cat's bag of tricks, you know what I mean?
Well, okay, let's look at it like this. So, since she was buying booze, she was well lubricated, right?
Sure. Oh, here we go with the puns.
Just poonshine.
Ha!
Poonshine, that's the best.
Hooch in the cooch.
Hooch in the cooch.
Been waiting all week to say that one. So let's go to something equally stupid, Black Friday and Thanksgiving.
Oh, goody, let's.
Okay, how about the mall in upstate New York that is forcing every store to be open on Black Friday and on Thanksgiving Day, or it will fine them 3 months' rent if they are not open for normal mall hours? A lot of the stores said, we don't want to be open, but we can't take that fine. So, fuck Thanksgiving. Has this shit gotten out of control?
Okay, this hasn't gotten out of control. This has been out of control. This is, I don't even know how this is legal, honestly.
It's most likely because it's a mall. It's most likely written into their contract that the mall can dictate their hours.
Yeah, I just don't understand. Like, you could make, if you really tried, some sort of religious case for this. Maybe that you know, like, oh, my religion says I can't go to work on Black Friday. I don't know. Whatever. Like,
my religion says I can't drive on tryptophan.
It would not surprise me in the least. It wouldn't surprise me if it were also true. Like, I don't know. I don't know how they're getting away with this, because this is heinous. This is awful. This is not something you should be allowed to force on other people.
Sean Deutsch, the manager of the mall's T-shirt University store, is quoted, "It's been a lot different this year trying to find people to work. It's not been easy. I've been forced to schedule myself because I can't find anyone else really to help me out," unquote. This is putting an undue pressure on not just the stores, but the people who work at them. Stores that we're going to be, you know, human and say, you know what, employees, you get Thanksgiving off. You get Black Friday off. The mall's going, no, you don't. That's just wrong. Shouldn't the people, like the people who would be shopping, go, you know what, this is stupid. I'm going to boycott this because fuck you, that's why.
They should be, but I think the problem is that the number of people who think that working on Thanksgiving and Black Friday is a bad thing is not as many as people who are wanting to go get good deals on stuff they think they need.
Okay, we are recording this about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I've already seen news reports of people already camped outside of Best Buys and Walmarts just to be first in line.
Okay, let me just state, for the record, okay, first off, nobody has camped in front of my Best Buy yet, and that $200 Panasonic 50-inch TV is not going to be worth it. That is a shitty TV. If you want to pay $200 for a shitty TV, go right the fuck ahead. But
Kat, yeah. CNN spent 8 minutes the other day going on about whether that $99 computer, that $99 laptop at Walmart is worth Black Friday insanity. They spent 8 minutes on that.
I can give you that answer in less than 8 seconds. No, it is not. It is not. So the trick of Black Friday, at least in electronics retail, is that we are trying to unload last year's crop of crap that we can't sell. And you will get some good deals on some stuff, but those ticketed items that you want so badly because there's such great deals, it's crap. It's crap, and please don't buy it. And if you do absolutely have to shop on and get those Black Friday deals, guess what? Those same prices also apply to Saturday. If you want something super badly, you either got to wait a week in line to get it, or just go on Saturday and you can't get as many things. Those are your options. And if you are waiting in line for a week, go fuck yourselves.
Correct. I agree with all of that. I think it's gotten way out of control, even more so than it was in 2008. Because before 2008, it was called Black Friday. Ironically, it was like a joke at married men. Your wife's out there with it, because apparently it's like the 60s and it's the opening sequence of the Jeffersons, or the Jetsons, or the Jeffersons. You know, it works both ways.
That's one of those weird times that the Jeffersons and the Jetsons are both prophetic.
That's right.
In the same way.
Perhaps we're not so different after all. But it was like a joke at married men. Like, your wife's out there with your credit card. Ha ha ha, Black Friday. It's a dark time indeed. But in 2008, somebody was trampled to death at a Walmart. And that was no longer ironic after that. But we still call it Black Friday. So yes, I think just the fact that it's called Black Friday still is indicative that it's gotten out of hand. I also think the mall in upstate New York should collectively go fuck itself. Because this is not going to affect the chain stores, like Foot Locker, Hot Topic, Sbarro, like any of the big chains that are in a mall. They're not going to be affected because they're corporately owned, and you're damn skippy they're going to be working on Thanksgiving or on Black Friday, both days, because those are huge shopping days. So yes, they're going to be ordered to be open, but this is really affecting the independent stores within the mall, like the coffee places, the bakeries, like stuff like that. So I feel bad for them. They own their own business. They should be able to set their own schedule and make their own hours. That's the whole point of owning your own business. And the mall shouldn't be able to just impose that on them, especially on a holiday.
But do you think the mall is doing this because of the pressure that they're getting from the people? That it's one thing feeding on another like an Ouroboros?
I don't understand, first off, how the mall makes a profit, because the only reason to do it is to stay competitive and make a profit. To be honest, most places don't make profit on Black Friday. They lose hemorrhage the money paying for all that staff to be there and also selling things under cost. You hemorrhage money on Black Friday. So how does the mall make money?
Maybe it's a PR thing. Maybe it's, hey, look, our mall is there for you. not for the employees, but for the consumers.
Well, I'm guessing that the mall gets a portion of each store's, like, annual profit, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure, I know at least with strip malls, they just pay rent and that's it. They don't get anything.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, a mall, especially like the Galleria in New York, that may be different, but I think they pay the rent, and whether you fail or succeed, that's your business.
That right there is why this whole thing just sort of confounds me, because I don't understand if, like, I would imagine they just pay rent. What does the mall stand to gain from forcing everybody to be open?
It's got to be something, though. I mean, just because we're not seeing it doesn't mean something's not going on, because anytime someone makes the decision to do something this shitty, i.e. forcing people that own their own business to work on Thanksgiving, there's got to be an equally shitty reason behind it. And
usually a lawyer's been
involved. Retail industry, I'm guessing it's money.
Yeah, sometimes. Usually a lawyer's been involved in that decision at some stage. Let's move on from that to the final story for this segment, satanic coloring books. And showing Christianity that they're not the only religion that matters. In January of 2013, the World Changers of Florida held Bible distributions at a whole bunch of Orange County, Florida public schools. No one was forced to take one, but they said, these Bibles are here at the school if you choose, because there was a religious exemption in the Orange County laws. Now, that said, a satanic group has decided we're going to give away the Satanic Children's Big Book of Activities, brought to you by the Satanic Temple. It's our friends from the Satanic Temple again, stirring the shit up in a great fucking way. And the religious people are saying, no. See, now all religion should be banned because, and I quote, the Satanists and Muslims are abusing the religious exemption. See, so when Christianity is offering an alternative, that's using the exemption. When Satanism and Muslims are using the exemption, that's abuse of it. This is more of that Christianity is the only thing that matters shit.
I was straight up guffawing, sir. I think this is awesome. I don't even think they're really into Satan. I think this whole thing is just a very intricate Trojan horse, like Andy Kaufman level performance art form of religious protest. I think this is awesome because I think it's doing exactly that. It's showing, you know, like high-ranking Christianity officials that this is what it's like when you guys try this shit.
No. I'm gonna quote from Bill Sublett of the Christian organization. This really has frankly gotten out of hand. I think we've seen a group or groups take advantage of the open forum we've provided. Unquote. See, it's an open forum to get Christianity out there, not non-Christian religions. God damn it.
I never really thought in my life I'd be like, I love the Satanic Church.
The Satanic Temple is some of the best trolls out there, aren't they?
But seriously, I think Charlie's right. I think this isn't really a group of people who worship Satan so much as a group of people out there who just want to go, look, this is what you guys look like.
I've spoken to the head of the Satanic Temple, Lucian Greaves. He really, I mean, I don't know about his beliefs in Satan. I'm not going to, you know, presume that. But he really believes he's doing something right by showing the hypocrisy of these Christian-only laws in schools. I support him 100%. This is great to show them just how ridiculous that they are. And now, there's been a new policy adopted in Orange County schools, quoting, materials of a denominational, sectarian, religious, political, and partisan nature shall not be permitted or distributed. So now the Christians are upset that they can't hand out the Bibles because, and I'm quoting here, everyone's upset about the Satanists and the atheists coming and ruining everything. See, it was just so great when it was just Christianity, but then those Satanists wanted equal time? Christ, what is this, America? Freedom of religion? Come on.
Come on. Freedom of our religion.
God damn it, man.
Yes, this is awesome. See, the biggest irony is that every Christian in America is failing to see this irony.
They see themselves as the victims of the Satanists and the Muslims and the atheists. That they're victimizing. This actually kind of plays into that religious victimization that Fox likes to perpetuate. You know, the war on Christmas and all that shit.
This is like someone just proclaiming that it's wrong to rape women before he has a chance to rape women.
That's a bit extreme, but okay.
If you want to put it in simpler terms, it's fighting fire and brimstone with fire and brimstone.
I just think it's a beautiful irony that I think if it happens enough, and if the law has to compensate enough, then people will hopefully eventually wake up to the idiocy that's been going on.
I want a satanic big book of big activity book. I want to get one of these.
Yeah, I want to know what's inside. I know what's inside the Bible because I've read it. I want a big satanic coloring book.
I will contact Lucian Greaves, see if we can get some satanic coloring books, and then we'll all color them in and then scan the results and put them on the website. I think an activity we need to try here.
We should do a giveaway.
In the meantime, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got just as much stupidity and idiocy as you've been listening to.
Shout! 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 Sh Hi, I am Hart D. Fisher. Welcome to your heart attack in the middle of your what the fuck? And of course, we got Josh Hadley here. Well, here's something that's funny, but isn't very fucking funny. Just recently, the San Diego County Water Authority has decided that they say they've shown that nearly three of four residents have favored turning wastewater into drinking water. That's right. From the sewer line to your tap, they are going to recycle wastewater from the sewage for drinking water in San Diego. So all you San Diego Comic-Con people, enjoy drinking that toilet water with shit and prescription drugs in it.
Just the idea. I don't care how much you filter it or alter it. It's still sewage water. It's going to retain elements of literal shit.
Well, you know, it's not the shit that bothers me. And I read through this entire article here that is from, of course, our buddies at Fox Not Quite News. FoxNews.com. They talk about the yuck factor, but they don't talk about the simple fact that when they recycle and they clean this water, they do not strain for the residues of prescription drugs. And they have found tremendous amounts of female hormones in the runoff water from LA sewage into the oceans to the point where it has turned many of the fish at the sewage runoff point into hermaphrodites. They have both sex organs. Fucking people up. So they are not getting out the Klonopin, the Xanax, the Prozac. Our recycled water has traces of those drugs. And you're not even getting one. You're getting a cocktail, Josh. They're going to get a cocktail. Female hormones, all the different psychoactive drugs that people are on.
Yeah.
Antipsychotics. Nowhere in this article, they just refer to it as the yuck factor. Because it's an easy way to put somebody down. The same way you could just call somebody a conspiracy theory guy. Well, a conspiracy is nothing more than a group of people that have enacted a plan to further their own agenda that is favorable to what they want out of life. That's it, guys.
There's also one other aspect here. It will cost almost $1 billion to build these treatment facilities and to do all of this for a year. You can't tell me that for $1 billion, it would not be cheaper just to buy and ship in clean water from another state.
You could desalinize the salt water. How about that?
There's got to be an agenda here of some kickbacks to certain sewage treatment facilities or something of that nature.
And actually,
$1 billion.
Just think about how many zeros that is. I just saw this. It's a $2.5 billion plan. And they said, what I like about this too is they just said, oh, you know, three out of four people think this is a great idea. Are you fucking kidding me? Are you fucking high, motherfuckers? Do you really believe I live in LA? I go to San Diego. I go down to the con. I got friends that live in San Diego. None of those motherfuckers want to be drinking recycled toilet water. I have never met a person in my lifetime that says, recycle that toilet water for me. I can't wait. And if you've got $2.5 billion, you can do a desalination plant. You can take the salt water and take the salt out of it. It's way cheaper. So I think you're right.
I'm smelling serious kickback here, dude.
That's serious. $2.5 billion for recycled wastewater. That's right up here with these new RoboCop-style robots they've got now. Have you heard about these robots?
They're much closer to Daleks than RoboCops.
For the folks at home that are non-geeks, a true geek would know what a Dalek is. That's a Doctor Who robot that looks really fucking cheesy. These things look like a vibrator. Dude, it looks like a vibrating egg on wheels.
We've often joked about RoboCop, Judge Dredd, things like that, that it wouldn't happen in our lifetime. Do you really honestly trust a robot to be a valid police officer? As much as we bitch about the cops, there's at least a human being in there, for good or bad.
The security robots called Nightscope K5 Autonomous Data Machines were designed by robotics company Nightscope, located in Mountain View, California. The robots are programmed to notice unusual behavior and alert controllers. That sentence right there frightens me, Josh. What the fuck does unusual behavior mean?
Have none of these people ever seen Chopping Mall?
How about it also has odor and heat detectors and can monitor pollution and carpets as well? Last but not least, with cameras, the RoboCops can remember up to 300 number plates a minute monitoring traffic. So yet again, more ways to intrude on your personal life. So now you're going to have a robot cop outside your office building figuring out whether or not you're smoking your weed or what have you. It could probably figure out if you got weed in your pocket. Can probably figure out if your carpets has pollution. And guess what does that mean? Can monitor pollution in carpets as well? Does that mean they're going to hand out tickets to businesses whose carpets are exuding too much pollution? Because here in Los Angeles, I had people show up at my office from the city trying to re-tax me on my office furniture I'd already been taxed on when I bought it.
I don't know what the fuck that one means. I would think the odor monitoring thing would be like to find high people, since you know the smell clings to clothes and hair. I'm thinking that's the direction.
Well, how about this?
With that.
Because when I was in college, I was the dude that didn't smoke weed. I didn't smoke weed in college. I never smoked it fucking once in college, not one time. But I hung out with lots of guys that did. So I had it on my clothes, but I never smoked it. So would I have a problem with a robot smelling it on me? Because where are they putting it? They're placing the robots in patrol malls, offices, and local neighborhoods, as well as outdoor spaces like corporate campuses, college campuses, and open-air malls, where it's better to keep an eye on all those politically active children.
All of those places are places where
you're politically active,
or early college students are going to be hanging out.
So who are they going to be monitoring, guys? They're going to be monitoring you at your office, while you're shopping at the mall, while you're at college campuses. So they're going
to
have a robot keeping track of you for the police, just sitting there, and it's going to be smelling for weed. Because where the college I went to, they had 420. You know, Chef Ra from the High Times magazine was at my college campus. And so they had like a 420 where everybody would sit on the quad and smoke dope. And they're going to try to get rid of that. And I find it interesting where they're putting it first. Corporate campuses, college campuses, and open air malls. It would seem to me that if you're going to be looking for breaking glass or burglaries, you'd put this in the parking lot at the mall during Christmas, right? If you actually want to catch real criminals. But it seems like they're more interested in watching people.
I just can't wait, Hart, until these things start to get vandalized and they've got spray paint and gang logos on them and shit like that. You know it's going to happen.
Well, they're already on patrol in San Francisco Bay Area. They're on patrol at Nightscope's headquarters, and they're also guarding an undisclosed location in Silicon Valley.
I made the joke earlier, chopping mall. This is chopping mall for real. The Roger Corman flip.
Really concerned with that. I'm concerned with the ever-increasing encroachment on our privacy. I don't really want a cop robot spying on my kid while he's hanging out on the quad doing his homework. I don't need that. I don't think we need that. I really don't. And they're trying. Imagine a friend that can see, hear, feel, and smell, that would tirelessly watch over your corporate campus or neighborhood. I don't like that.
Do these things have Asimov's three laws or not?
It's interesting. I could see them being put into parking areas, like parking garages. That makes sense to me. That's where burglaries happen. People are stealing the cars. In the mall parking lot, you already have a security person that runs around the mall. The idea that they're photographing me and keeping a record of it, what's the legality of it? How long do they keep these records? How long do the police keep the records of all these license
More
plates?
More importantly, who has access to them? What
who
people
has
have
access?
Access?
That's a big, big thing. We have this issue where they had the cannibal cop was let go, and he accessed these police databases, and that guy got away with it. He's free. So how many other people like this are out there? How many other crazy cops are out there pulling this? On the hour-long Heart Attack, we went into length about the issue where we got a real problem with police officers shooting dogs around the country, especially in Buffalo. It's some pretty scary stuff. We're at the end of another Heart Attack. I'm Hart D. Fisher. If you guys want to check out my horror channel, American Horrors, you could watch it anytime, any place on the web. It's at filmon.com. We're in the horror section as American Horrors. Find me online, Heart Attack Radio, on Twitter, facebook.com/Heart Attack Radio. I definitely want to hear from you guys. If you got a story you want me to talk at or take a look at, you know, hit me up. We'll check it out. We'll be right back.
Let's start with the stupid one. We saw that we, as humanity, has now traveled farther in space than ever before this week. That they landed a probe on a comet 300 million miles away. This was the Rosetta Center European Space Agency, led by Matt Taylor, okay? This is an astonishing development in human history. We have now expanded humanity farther into the galaxy than ever before. So what was all the news about? During the press conference, Matt Taylor was wearing a bowling shirt full of comic book images of women in bondage gear and in, like, comic book poses and whatnot. So the feminists went nuts that your t-shirt is offensive. And I quote, "I don't care if you landed a spacecraft on a comet. Your shirt is sexist and ostracizing." That just started this off. Then after that, the next day, Matt Taylor gave a crying apology for how he deeply offended all the women in America and Europe with this shirt and how he is deeply, deeply sorry. This was after about 24 hours of him being completely vilified on Twitter, on Facebook, and probably being threatened that to lose his job because of this t-shirt. This t-shirt, by the way, was designed by a woman. As a female, your thoughts, Kat?
There's a certain irony to this guy landing on a comet and me thinking, this is why the aliens don't visit us.
This is also why people don't take feminism seriously.
Like, there's so many, so many, so many real problems in the world. There is real misogyny in the world. Don't need to be focusing on stupid cosmetic errors. This guy chose a tacky shirt to wear in front of a camera.
Excuse me, it's an awesome shirt.
It is kind of awesome.
I would totally wear that shirt.
I would not wear that shirt in front of a camera if I were representing a company or a group or something, just because I'd want to look a little more professional than a bowling shirt. And not because it's got cheesecake poses all over it. It's because it's really loud, loud shirt. You know, I'd think I'd wear something a little more professional. You don't get to be a crazy feminist who vilifies men for telling them what they should and shouldn't wear, and then go bitch about what men do and do not wear. It's stupid. It's hypocritical. I don't get to decide what another human being wears because it's none of my fucking business.
Like the Atlantic journalist Rose Evelyn, she put this, that the t-shirt outright exhibits lack of respect for women, and no women are totally welcome in our community. Just ask the dude in this shirt. Again, the shirt was designed by a woman, the leader of Matt's mission is a woman, and half of his crew are women. So yes, he totally ostracized all these women. If the women had been wearing Frank Frazetta dudes on their shirts, would that have been offensive to the male gender?
No, I would have been cool with it. I kind of agree with what Kat was saying earlier. This mission has shoved humanity's reach even further into space. And now here's a reason why that's probably not a good idea, because humanity kind of sucks sometimes. I think people focus on the wrong thing. And I think all of today's stories in one way or another are examples of what can happen when people have too much freedom.
Oh, I also don't like the fact that it became pretty clear that Matt, because Matt Taylor was very happy when he was giving the interview wearing the shirt and whatnot, and he has done a great thing for humanity and possible scientific discovery. I can almost guarantee you he was threatened with losing his job and possibly his career if he did not apologize. The fact that he had to make a tearful, crying apology on the internet the next day is offensive to me. And Ellie Prizman, who designed the shirt, she's a little pissed off that he apologized. I agree with her. This is ridiculous.
I'm pissed off he apologized. It is not anybody's business what he chooses to wear. We don't get to tell each other what to wear. Like, this is fundamental idiocy.
Do you want to hear a funny side effect of this, though?
Sure.
Ellie Prizman made a whole bunch of those shirts that sold for $60 each on her website. They sold out the day after the apology. She doesn't have any more.
Fucking fantastic. I expect to see cosplayers around the next convention I'm at of this guy, because this
guy... Look at
me,
I'm Matt Taylor!
This guy is a fucking hero. He's done something amazing for science and for humanity, and he doesn't deserve to be crucified because he wore a very loud shirt.
this is people picking fights that are so, so pathetic and so pointless that it's like you said, this is why feminism gets so vilified in the eyes of a lot of people, because people are picking stupid fights that don't need to be picked.
The apology gave the feminists exactly the boost that they wanted. It proved that they were right in their minds. That, I think, makes things worse in the long run, doesn't it?
I think saying the feminists is not a very nice thing, because I'm a feminist and I don't have a problem with his shirt. And I think vilifying the feminists is about the same as vilifying the guy for his shirt. But nevertheless.
Okay, the specific feminist that bitched about the shirt. How's that?
Thank you.
I don't know. It's hard to defend any of this. I feel bad for this guy because, A, the shirt was not sexist. There was nothing demeaning about, like, demeaning to women about the shirt. It was comic book art, for fuck's sake. I mean, that's the first thing. There was nothing wrong with the shirt. Second thing is, this is the crowning achievement of his life. Like, how long has he been a scientist in this field? Like, how long has he been working towards this?
It's been stolen from him now.
He did this, and just because someone wanted to complain about a shirt, something that means less than nothing when compared to landing on a comet, someone decided to take that and shit all over the best moment of his life. I blame the media. Okay, I don't want to say I blame the media, but I blame stupid people and the people that let them say stupid things in public. Okay. So to an extent, I blame you, Josh.
Let's talk about the insurance industry. How about the Wisconsin woman, Megan Rothbauer? She had a heart attack and died for about 3 minutes. The paramedics got her stabilized and she was in a coma for 10 days and they rushed her to St. Mary's Hospital, which was the closest hospital. Well, when she woke up, she got a $254,000 bill from her insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield. They don't have an account with that hospital. The paramedics took her to the wrong hospital, so her insurer, Blue Cross Blue Shield, is not going to pay her bill. Now, she eventually got this bargained down to $156,000 off the bill. Then she negotiated the remainder of the bill by $98,000, but she's still owing more than $50,000 because the paramedics took her to a hospital that Blue Cross Blue Shield didn't have an account with. And they are saying because she did not tell them to take her to the right hospital. You know, because she was dead for 3 minutes. You wonder why people don't like the insurance industry?
One thing I would like to clarify for the insurance company is that the paramedics did not take her to the wrong hospital. They took her to the hospital that was close enough for her to survive. So they 100% took her to the correct hospital. Thing against the insurance company is that being legally and clinically dead at the time the decision was made is not enough grounds for an exemption when it comes to their policies.
You would think death might be just the exemption, right? Of all exemptions.
I guess death to some insurance companies is a pre-existing condition, and they won't review it regardless of circumstances. And the third thing is the fact that they came back with a lower number is just like admitting, okay, we really don't need any of this, but here, how about this? That's crackhead negotiation. That means do not take the person seriously. I think the medical industry is a lot like the entertainment industry. Like when it comes to making a movie, you have all these arbitrary costs of things, like the amount of money that you need for this to happen, and it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
Rothbauer's had to declare bankruptcy, which has put off, she was engaged at the time, her wedding, because they can no longer afford the wedding until the bankruptcy is resolved, and then they can get the money for the wedding again. You know, it's funny how her dying and coming, you know, being a Lazarus, how it screws up your life, right?
Yeah, I hate it when that happens to me.
Blue Cross Blue Shield is absolutely the villain here, aren't they?
I can't even imagine working for a company that inhuman. I couldn't be one of those, like, insurance people who goes over cases, because you have to lose part of your soul every day just going over cases that you know you're not gonna, the company's not gonna budge on, and they're not gonna, like, just let something go. Like, this, our healthcare system is just so fucked up. We shouldn't have a healthcare system that's based on some companies making tremendous profits.
But this is the healthcare system that Ted Cruz and the Republicans want, because Obamacare is pure evil and they think insurance companies should be able to set their own rates. This is the Republican plan for healthcare in action, isn't it?
Yes, I guess so. This is
a really, really fucked up system that we've got going for us. It shouldn't be like this. Healthcare should be about having healthy people, not drowning in debt after you fucking die and come back to fucking life.
I think it's a miracle she's literally alive.
Like, seriously, somebody should be sainting her, not charging her exorbitant fees for something that was nobody's fault and out of everyone's control.
You know what? I'm honestly surprised Blue Cross Blue Shield didn't try to sue the paramedics. Their covered hospital was only 3 blocks from St. Mary's. So I'm surprised they didn't find some way to try and get money out of the damn paramedics. You didn't do your job! Actually, they did. They literally brought a woman back from the dead.
If she's fucking alive, then they did their job. This is the system in practice that Ted Cruz and John Boehner and everyone are trying to idealize when they say that Obamacare is what's going to destroy America. I think, I don't know, I hate to keep bringing this up, but the evidence just keeps presenting itself. Given this story and given what Ted Cruz and John Boehner are really asking for, I think everyone needs to ask themselves, are you against Obamacare because the president's black?
All right, let's move from that to a different kind of incompetence. How about in Columbus, where I'm going to point, I have to emphasize this, during a police training exercise of recruits, somehow 3 police cruisers were wrecked in a chain reaction crash, and they accidentally tear gassed the local elementary school.
Were there kids in the school at the time?
Yes. The tear gas irritated the throats and eyes of several children and a pregnant asthmatic teacher.
Wow.
Oh, God.
This is a training exercise. I get it that these are recruits, so they're not full-on police officers yet. But that is some police academy-level shit there, where you wreck all 3 cruisers in a chain reaction crash and accidentally tear gas the school down the block. This is something out of a fucking cartoon, isn't it?
That is the only possibility other than it is an enormous cover-up. Isn't training exercise the cover-up phrase?
Except in this case, I think it actually was a training exercise. Because I can't see real police officers, as much as we bitch about them on this show, doing this. I can't.
I can see them doing the other part of the story, though. The article that you had sent me said that none of the 35 recruits have yet to be named responsible. Like, no blame has been placed.
No, that's a cover-up.
That is a cover-up, my friend, because Jesus Christ. Okay, so this was perpetrated, this incident, the crash and the tear gas on the pregnant asthmatic teacher.
And the kids, don't leave
and the kids
out.
Can't leave them out. They're not going to sound right ever again because of this. No blame has been placed. And this was all done by 35 technical civilians. They are not cops yet. They are all still going to graduate when they're scheduled to, but none of them are cops yet. I just want you to think about what might happen to me if I crashed 3 police cars and tear gassed an elementary school.
Okay, I do like the fact that the police chief actually did have a real quote, though. This is unacceptable and it should not have happened. Fair enough, but still.
Well, you're not wrong.
I mean, but that's 2020 hindsight, right?
Yeah, if I say this is unacceptable and shouldn't happen, that's okay because I'm not a cop.
I'm just picturing in my head, it's probably funnier than how it actually happened. But in my head, this is a pretty funny incident, even with the kids and the asthmatic teacher being tear gassed by accident. I'm just wondering, why was tear gas being used in a training exercise? Couldn't you kind of have faked that? I've seen too many police academy movies and I don't know real police procedures, but I wouldn't think you'd have to use real tear gas when you're a block from an elementary school. I would just think that could have come up as what if at some point, huh?
I'm assuming they didn't think that the people would be this incompetent. I understand wanting to use real tear gas in a training exercise because otherwise how do you have a full understanding of how it works and the effects, but you think they could have picked a better location other than, you know, right by a elementary school? Like, seriously, who thought that was a good idea?
I'm just wondering what the training exercise was that they were going through, because if it was something that would help to prevent accidents, then they need a new training exercise for that.
Yeah, tear gas and wrecking 3 squad cars. I guess they were preparing for, I don't know, when the
Republicans... A James Bond film.
When the Republicans take Congress back in January.
Yeah, this better be part of like an elaborate, here's what not to do kind of campaign.
Here, we're preparing for a Die Hard movie.
Yeah, I can definitely see John McClane looking at this and having some motherfucker comment.
This is what to do if the third fucking Gruber brother turns up in town.
We've had some fun tonight, but I'm still pissed off about the t-shirt thing that really stuck in my craw. Kat, if people want to find you, where can people compliment you?
Oh, well, if you want to compliment me, you can do that anytime. On Twitter at LabyrinthCat and Facebook.com/NerdistCat. And my main show is Nerds with the Third Power over on That Guy with the Glasses under the podcast tab. Oh, and I got, what is my other show? Thespian Talk over on rtgomer.com.
Now, and, Charlie, if people want to demean you, where can they do so?
The docs. I'm usually out there.
He's the one in the fright wig with the with Lockjaw.
In fact, that's the name that I dance under is Lockjaw. But you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, on Josh's website, on this show, and also at geekjuicemedia.com.
You're kind of like the herpes of the internet. You're everywhere, and you just pop up periodically.
Yeah, like you're not going to see me every time, but you're going to know when I'm there.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com and contact the show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Go out and buy one of those t-shirts that Matt Taylor wore, if you can find one. And definitely contact Lucian Greaves at the Satanic Temple and get a satanic coloring book.
What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.